Take your Bibles, turn back to Hebrews chapter 1. Let me ask you a question this morning. Why are you here? Why are you here this morning? Junior Church, thank you. They need to hear what I have to say. No. So if you go to Junior Church, little ones, it is time for you to get up and go ahead and go on out and... There's a reason for this. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. It's my adult ADD. Why are you here? Why did you get up this morning, and why are you here? Are you here because your mom and dad banged on your door and said, let's roll? Are you here? Oh, and by the way, eyes here. Don't look at your family members. Don't look at who Kate brought you. Are you here because, well, my spouse has been hounding me, and so I'll just, to make life happy, I will come? Are you here because this is what millions of Americans, every Sunday morning, they get up, this isn't a work day, this isn't a day in the yard, and so we go to church. This is what we do. This is what we've done since forever. I hope not. Because we are here and we hopefully have come together to worship our Creator God. We hopefully have come here. What is worship? We say we come and this is our worship service. What is worship? Worship, according to the dictionary, is a reverent honor paid to God. A deep feeling of respect and awe of who God is and what He has done. Let me ask you a question. Before you got here this morning, was there any thoughts? Did it cross your mind to say of who God is and what He has done? Look outside. Look outside. The trees, the grass, the animals. God has created these. And let's put a little plug in here for Sunday school. Pastor Rob has the adults here in the auditorium, and they're doing a series on Genesis. And the teens, and if you're a teen and you've not been in a teen class, we are having a great time going through the book of Genesis. Not getting some smiles here, so I'm assuming I'm right, from the teens, who we have been looking at God's Word, and we have been seeing what... who created, how He created. It's not as the world tells us. It's as God tells us in His Word. And because of that creation, because of what we see outside, we can come together here on a Sunday morning and we can unify and gather together and lift our voices in praise and worship God. Because we look out there and we are awed, I hope, by that tree and that grass. How does it work? All I know is the rain keeps raining, the sun keeps shining, and I keep having to cut that grass. Because an almighty, holy God who is omnipotent, who has all power, created. Genesis chapter 1. And if you don't believe Genesis chapter 1, that it happened in six literal 24-hour days, that God spoke and He created out of nothing, He created everything that we have, He created you and He created me. If you don't believe that in Scripture, then how do you believe anything else? What do you decide to believe and what do you decide not to believe? And once you take God out of the picture, who God has given to us the absolutes and the morals and the values of right and wrong. And once you take God out of the picture, what is your standard? And this morning and every Sunday morning, as we come and we gather together as a body of believers, we should be worshiping. We should be, again, having that reverent honor where we stop and come aside from the busyness of this week. And I don't know, if your week wasn't busy, I've got some work for you. But we come aside, we set aside the busyness, we set aside work. We set aside all of the other things that we do, and we come and we take time and we focus as a family of believers where we sing and we lift our voices as one and worship to God. We worship from the moment that whoever opens is our worship service. It's our time that we are to stop focusing on ourselves and work and our family and our problems and the media and school and everything else and focus on God. In our songs, I hope that you're not just sitting back and saying and stand up and the song director says, take your hymnals and turn to 243, when I survey the wondrous cross, and you stand there, when I survey the... And you're sitting there going, because my mouth has to move, because otherwise my spouse or my parents are going to get all over me. When we come for a worship service, let me give you an illustration. For those of you who don't know, I'm from New England, and so I'm a slight sports fanatic. Oh, I was expecting more noise than that. All right, I'm huge. Huge. Eat, breathe, and drink. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be all the time. What was I saying? But I'm a sports fanatic, thank you. And when I was growing up, the greatest basketball player at the time, Larry Bird, played for the Celtics. And we would go to the Garden, and we would watch Larry Bird play, and we were in awe of Larry Bird, of what he could do. He would stand there with the basketball, and there was... Too long of an illustration. All right. But he could fake play opponents out and leave them just... I mean, opponents... There is video of opponents falling over because he head faked so fast, and the opponent would fall over, and then he would just stand there and go, basket, and walk the other way. He was a tremendous player, and we as kids were in awe of this person. Our awe, our reverent honor that we pay to God should not even compare to what we look around at our sports heroes. Maybe your hero is a musician. Maybe you've gone and you've heard some of the greatest musicians and the greatest symphonies around the world. Your awe and reverence for God, it shouldn't even compare to another human being. And as we sing these songs, when I survey the wondrous cross, that's taken, the idea of that was taken from Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. God forbid that I should glory, what? Save in the cross. All of our lives, everything, not just Sunday morning at 10:30 when we gather together, but all of our lives, we should have a mental attitude of who God is and what He has done for me. How can I serve Him today, this moment, at work, in my home, as the dad, as the mom, as the kids? How can I love my family as Christ loved the church? How can I work at work and be an example of Jesus Christ? Worship. Why do we come here? We come here to worship. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the writer of Hebrews is writing and he says, God, who at sundry times, or in many different times, and in diverse manners or many various different ways, He spake in times past unto the fathers, the Old Testament saints, by the prophets. So as the writer is writing here, he's reminding these Christians, and he says, In the Old Testament, before the Messiah came, before Christ came, God revealed Himself at different times in different ways to the people, to the Old Testament saints. Verse 2, hath in these last days, and the last days started when Christ ascended, went back to heaven, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Who's the Son of God? Jesus Christ. Keep your finger there, but turn over to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, begin reading with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jumping to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the Son? The Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is God, became flesh, He lived among us. He is the Word of God. He is God. He is the Word that we have. We have His life. We have what He spoke to us. So God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, rightfully so, because who is Jesus? He is God. He is the Creator. God created the heavens and the earth. You say, wait a minute. I remember from Sunday school, and I go back, Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Let's back up. Let's verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who's being referenced there? Jesus. Jesus shed His blood, and through we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things, what? Created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Jesus Christ, as God, created the heavens and the earth. And so here in the middle of verse 2, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, it says, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, rightly so, as God, as the Creator, He gets to inherit that which He created. By whom also He made the worlds. And that we saw again in Colossians chapter 1. God made the worlds through God, Jesus Christ. All right, let's stop and back up for a second. Are we confused here for a moment? Now remember, we talked about this in Teen Sunday School this morning. We are human, which means we are finite, especially as fallen, sinful man. God is infinite. So there might be a few things, a lot of things, that there is about an infinite, all-knowing, all-wise, holy, righteous God that a finite, sinful, fallen man might not understand. And we have to accept those things by faith. Because God, who created you and me, God, who provided the way of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, said, I created the worlds through Jesus Christ, who is still God. And we say, okay, I got it. And I love You for it, God. And I believe You. Verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory, Jesus Christ is the brightness of the glory of God. Who has seen God the Father? Nobody, Scripture says. No one can see God and live. What is God? God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must what? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. How do we know the Father? We know the Father through God the Son, Jesus Christ. Turn back to Colossians 1, and I'll just read it, but we just read it a minute ago. Colossians 1:15, who is the image? Talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He is the express image. I normally don't have coins, but boom, there's a coin. And it has an image on it. Who's on the image of the quarter? George Washington. And you didn't even look. You're awesome. Every one quarter that goes out has the express image of George Washington. Because it was made how? Some guy sat there and etched on this one, and then etched on the next one. And guess what? They wouldn't all be exactly the same, would they? No. But if we take a machine, I believe you call it, if I'm wrong, forgive me, cast and die, and you get the imprint of the real one, and then you just, they stamp, as they go through, and they all have the exact image. Same. Jesus Christ is the express image of God the Father. And we can see God the Father through Jesus Christ. And we can learn of God the Father through Jesus Christ. And how do we know about Jesus Christ? We have the Word. We have His words that He has given to us. That He has preserved, and then we can read it and know Him. I challenge you to be in the Word, to know the Word, to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. You can't grow in a relationship, husband-wife, boyfriend-girlfriend. You can't grow in a relationship if you don't what? Spend time, talk, see what they know, see what they like. Some of you have been married for a long time, and before you had children and became old and tired, you used to really know your spouse inside and out. You could finish sentences for your spouse, I'll bet. And then you had children, and then you didn't sleep, and then you went to work a lot, and then you became old and tired, and now you can't even finish your own sentences. How can you expect to know God if you don't spend time with God? And God says, I have revealed myself to you. Jesus says unto him, talking to his disciples, Have I not so long been with you? Yet ye have not known me, Philip. He that hath seen me hath, what? Seen the Father. Verse 3 continues, upholding all things by the word of His power. That is an amazing phrase. You got to stop sometimes and step back and think about what the Scripture is saying. Holding all things by the word of His power. Turning back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. The idea is that He sustains all things, and He keeps all things together. The planets continue to orbit around the sun because Jesus Christ allows it. The volcanoes in Hawaii that erupt because God commands it. You continue to breathe because God allows it. It's not because I said so. I have no power. And as my children have gotten older, they will be the first one to tell you how great I thought I was, and my power has diminished tremendously as I've gotten older. Because they realize, oh, he can't do that. He is not the all-knowing and the all-wise one. But God is. And all things consist. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He holds all things together. And if we look ahead, if we cheat and look ahead to the book of Revelation, and we see the end times, and man with climate change and with this worry and that worry and their worry that we are going to consume all of the usable energy on this earth and the world is going to cease to exist, and God is sitting there and He is holding in His hand, He says, at my time, it will end. And it won't end because we run out of fossil fuel. It won't end because the earth gets too hot. Well, it will end because the earth gets too hot, because He will consume it with a fire, because He says so in His Word. And it will happen at His time, when His Word is spoke. And because of those things, and knowing that we don't have to fear the media, and we don't have to fear what they say on the news, we can put our faith and our trust and reliance, and we can give honor and praise to whom it is due, to God. Continuing in verse 3, when He hath by Himself purged our sins. Do you read each word, or do you catch that as a phrase? Yeah? Christ saved us from our sins. When He had by Himself purged our sins. Remember, Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross. You look through the story, the scriptures, at the trial, at the beatings, at Him walking up, carrying the cross and stumbling. And you look at the things that could have easily not happened and Christ wouldn't have gone to the cross. Did Pilate want to kill Christ? But it had to happen. Because God had prophesied of it, and knowing that His Son, Jesus Christ, would be the perfect Lamb of God. Unblemished, no spot. And that He only could go to that cross to die, to shed His blood, to pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin. That if we put our faith and our trust in that finished work, that we would have redemption from our sins. That when He had by Himself purged our sins, He died, He was put in that tomb, but what the Scripture says is that He rose again. Again, that little finite mind that I have and that infinite God, and I can't quite put together how a dead person can rise from the dead. How can a dead person do anything? But that's where by faith I say, God said it. He's God. He's infinite. He's all-powerful. He said it. I believe it. And I worship Him. And I am in awe of what He has done for me. Did I deserve any of this? As my mother will tell you, when I was a kid, and probably sometimes now, I am a legend in my own mind. As most kids who grew up in a sports town, loving sports, I would play out on the street. I am 5'7". I am not a basketball player by any stretch of the imagination. But I would stand on that street, and we had spray painted on the street for the foul line and everything, and I would stand there, of course, obviously, when usually no one else was there. And I would stand there, and I would look at the basket, and in my mind, what was I doing? There's 2 seconds left on the clock. The Celtics are down by one, and I, Dan Tozier, have got this. Okay, there's 1 second to go. I missed. There's 1 second to go. I'm only down. It's a tie ball game, and really, this is how it's going to be. Okay, we're going to go to play another sport. Forget basketball. We stink at that. But no.
but I'm not God. And I have to step back and be in awe of the Son of God and what He has done for me. When He had by Himself purged our sins, what did He do? The Scripture says He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Who sits at the right hand Let me finish that sentence. You're right, but we're not going there yet. Who sits at the honored person's right hand at a banquet? Who sits at the president's right hand? Who sits at the king's right hand? The honored guest. The mother of the sons of Zebedee comes to Jesus and says, "Let one sit at the right and one sit at the left." And He says, "You don't even know what you're asking." Because, go back to Solomon. 2 Kings, I'm playing by memory. But his mom comes into the throne room. First, he stands at his mom coming in. And second, he says, "Get a seat and put her at my right hand." His mother. He showed honor and respect, and he should. Kids, hint, hint, always to your mom. And she sat at his right hand. He's the king! Everyone bows to the king. But when his mom walked in, he showed reverence to his mom, for who she was, an honor to his mom. And she sat at his right hand. And here it says, Jesus Christ, when He had purged our sins, He sat at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Take your Bibles, turn back to Philippians. Chapter 2, and in Philippians chapter 2, it says, talking about Jesus in verse 6, it says, "Who, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." After He had died on the cross and rose again and He had purged our sins, He sat at the right hand of God the Father, and that whether today, willingly, we bow the knee in worship, in awe, in reverence, in honor to Jesus Christ, or one day when all will bow the knee and they won't have a choice, and they will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you here? Why did you come this morning? Did you come because I got dragged out of bed? Because I didn't want to displease my spouse? Because this is what everybody in America does on Sunday morning? Or did you come to worship the all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful Creator God, Sustainer God, who purged? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, He has purged your sins. He sat down on the right hand of the Father, and He deserves your worship. And let me add, not just Sunday morning at 10:30. He deserves our worship 24/7, 365. And if you say, "I don't know Him like that. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I don't know Him. I don't understand that." You're talking about Him being God and the worship and purging my sins. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then this morning I beg you to come forward when we have this song of invitation, to find someone who you say, they're a Christian, they'll know, and they can open the Word of God. You don't join the church to become a Christian. You don't do certain things to become a Christian. You realize that you're a sinner, and because of your sin, you have disobeyed a holy and a righteous God, and you have to pay the penalty for that sin. Just like a child, when a child disobeys the mother or father, the child has to be spanked, be punished for their sin. When we disobey a holy, righteous God, we have to be punished. And God says that punishment is eternity in hell, in a lake of fire, and you will pay for your sin that way. But God says, because I love you so much, I will send my Son to pay that penalty for you so that you don't have to. But you have to repent. What is repenting? Repenting means I am walking this way, my way, a sinful way, and I realize that this is wrong. And repenting means I turn 180 degrees away from my will. And I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ and His shed blood and realize that is the only thing that can pay the penalty for my sin. And I submit to God that He is my Lord and my Savior. Let's pray.